So what about MSI or mismatch repair? So when we look at guidelines for testing for patients with colorectal cancer, we've got several different ways to look at microsatellite instability status or MMR proficiency or deficiency for patients. And probably the way that's most commonly used and probably the cheapest way to do it is by immunohistochemistry, where you look at four mismatch repair proteins and you see by immunohistochemistry, do you have presence of all of those proteins? If you have presence of all of your mismatch repair proteins, then you're what we call mismatch repair proficient, meaning you probably don't have microsatellite instability. I say that because when you read the reports, sometimes you have to look because if you're not realizing what the test is looking at and you see the presence of all of these proteins, some may think that means you have microsatellite unstable disease. And I've seen that misconception or misperception in some of the interpretations of these reports. But what you're actually looking at is a loss of one of these proteins. Some also will do it by polymerase chain reaction or PCR testing, looking for microsatellites or a number of microsatellites that you see within a sample. So when you have microsatellite instability, you see a lot more of various sizes of microsatellites when you do PCR. And so you can test for it that way. When you look at concordance between IHC and PCR-based testing, they're over 90% concordant with each other, so they should be fairly interchangeable in terms of pathology tests. And then now that a lot of us are using next-generation sequencing, we're also using next-generation sequencing to look at microsatellite status, and so you can use that as well. So again, what's the difference? You'll hear microsatellite instability, you'll hear mismatch repair, you'll hear them used interchangeably, and I think most of it has to do with what test you use to determine, whereas deficient mismatch repair, which is akin to microsatellite instability, just means you looked by immunohistochemistry for the loss of one of those mismatch repair proteins. What are some of the testing strategies we use? And again, this is just a look pictorographically, looking at the immunohistochemistry versus looking at all of these different microsatellite pieces, the variation in sizes and differences there. So what does it mean to have microsatellite instability and a BRAF mutation? We get asked this question a lot. And so when we think about somebody having microsatellite instability, we say, okay, well, do these patients have germline mutations, which makes you think of Lynch syndrome, which makes you think of having to look at all of the other family members for the presence of microsatellite instability. It also makes you think about having to look at the patient in terms of other endoscopic surveillance that you might have to do versus patients that have somatic mutations. And so what we've seen is one way to differentiate very roughly is by the presence or absence of a BRAF mutation. So we've found that patients with somatic microsatellite instability, so this is not germline, sporadic microsatellite instability, usually have a BRAF mutation that goes along with it. And the reason why is the mechanism by which they develop this microsatellite instability is by what we call hypermethylation along their DNA. And we also see that the BRAF also gets hypermethylated and is mutated. And that's how you get the correlation between BRAF mutation, microsatellite instability, and that's a somatic rather than a germline. So why do we use checkpoint inhibitors for patients with microsatellite unstable or deficient mismatch repair colorectal cancer? So this is the way I simplistically explain it to myself. So when we replicate our DNA, we can make mistakes along the way. So we have the mismatch repair proteins that help us correct those mistakes along the way. If we are lacking in those mismatch repair proteins, then when you replicate your DNA, you're going to make mistakes. And when you make mistakes, you get mutations. When you get mutations, you get more frequency of developing different types of cancers. But also when you get more mutations, you can potentially form what we call neoantigens or abnormal looking proteins that then the immune system will react to and see and react against. And so when you look under the microscope at a colon tumor who has microsatellite instability, you'll see a lot of T cells in the area because they're sensing all those neoantigens that are there in the tumor and are ready to react against them. And so when you add a checkpoint inhibitor like PD-1 or pembrolizumab, you actually turn on the immune system to be able to react to all of those neoantigens. And you see these beautiful responses as in the original data set looking at pembrolizumab for patients with MMR deficient colorectal cancer. We've also seen this for nivolumab alone, but even more impressive, adding the CTLA-4 inhibitor ipilimumab on top of nivolumab has given us what I think is the most impressive data for patients with microsatellite unstable colorectal cancer, where you see patients at 1 year, about 86% of the patients surviving out to 1 year with using the combination of nivolumab and ipilimumab. And it's the combination of nivolumab 3 and ipilimumab 1, which is different than the regimen that we use for melanoma, which is Ipi 3, Nivo 1, which could potentially result in more toxicity than the other way around. And interestingly, when you look at subgroup analysis, so you say, well, does it matter if the patient has a KRAS mutation? Does it matter if they're germline or somatic microsatellite instability? Does it matter what their PD-L1 expression was? And in general, the answer is no. The combination of Nivo plus Ipi or Nivo alone has about the same efficacy across all of those subtypes.